to DMnastics, the gym for dungeon masters to work out their minds. I'm one of your hosts, DM Celeste, aka Sea Witch.
Dun dun dun. I also sometimes envision that instead of being like the ocean, that it's like the letter C. It makes me think of that Rick and Morty episode where there were all the alphabet people.
I am the alphabet person.
Yes.
I am your trying to think of a royalty word that starts with C. Your
count.
Your count.
Countess.
Your countess.
Yes.
Celeste.
Now it's just like a nefarious version of Sesame Street.
Yes.
With all of that insanity out of the way, this superset was entitled By Odin's Beard.
Whoa.
Yes.
Is it about Thor?
No, so it is instead. It has Lou Anders, who writes some really amazing young adult novels called Thrones and Bones, which Ooh. Also has like an actual physical game inside of it that then is actual physical game that you can buy.
Yes, please.
And one of the big groups in there are like Northern Barbarian tribes. Mm. So I took some info from an old DMnastics, put it into a new DMnastics to flesh that out further and basically build this entire group. And the barbarian tribe that Lou and I build are terrifying.
Whoa.
They can fly.
Oh, God. So I'm ready.
So you need to definitely listen to all of that and figure out how you're going to put those in your world and terrify your players.
Yes, do it.
But with that, let's head to the exercise already in progress.
Well, I think that's smashing.
I would say it's some cold themes there in your world, Lou.
At least in book one, the first novel, yes. Frostborn, is drawn directly from Scandinavian myth and culture. In the subsequent books, Nightborn and Skyborn, I get some fun with my Norse-inspired characters traveling across their world. They end up about 2,000 miles from home. And so then we get comedy from, you know, the barbarians from the frozen north dealing with people who are not used to them.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm excited. So the setup for this one, it tied back to a previous DMnastics where someone had mentioned the barbarians of Northfell. So in the world that we've created together, Deimbe, there's barbarians, specifically the barbarians of Northfell and the Northfell clans. So I thought it would be a great idea, based off all of the awesome things that Lou had said, to create a clan together or multiple clans together, whatever worked for the forum. So we have one here, and it's more of a collaborative effort, so a lot of people put in their ideas, and this may get slightly confusing, but the clan name is called Frost Horn. So not to be confused with Lou's first book, Frostborn, but
which does revolve around trying to capture a magical horn. So conflation may be easy. Yes.
Oh no. That's amazing. So the clan leader is named Jan Stormfaller.
Jan.
Oh, darn it. Lou, yep. taking me to task right out the gate. I'm with you. It's okay. Jan Stormfallen. Oh, it's right there. Lou, the pronunciation is right there. That's my bad.
Yeah, but you don't say we have to cross the fjord. You say fjord.
True. Yeah, I'm with you now. I'm with you. All right. Let's see if I can do a little better. So the clan leader is Jan Stormfallen, and it says in an entirely unprecedented scenario, Jan Stormfallen challenged his predecessor, Ralk the Snowblind, for leadership. This was not unusual in and of itself. While not every day occurrence in the Frosthorn tribe, the clan chief had to defend his position from time to time. The fact that Jan was the Frosthorn shaman at the time is what made the situation groundbreaking. In fact, never before in any clan has one person held both positions, shaman and chief, simultaneously. Already, I am a huge fan. Well, he's probably not a huge fan of me, but I'm a huge fan of Jan. Because that's a pretty impressive feat there.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the Scandinavian culture, they did not have any kind of hereditary succession. When the Jarl died, you fought for the right to be the new Jarl. And the strongest person got the job. Mm-hmm. And when they encountered Western Europe, the rest of Western Europe, and started getting Christianized, there were a couple of Jarls who tried to instate their children as their successor, and it completely didn't go over. And it was several hundred years of false starts before they moved to the idea of hereditary succession. Interestingly enough, talking about shaman, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, actually. I'll save that. But I'm in the Norse culture, there were religious people called Gothi, G-O in their T-H letter I. And the Gothi functioned in a shamanic capacity, although I think anybody could, you know, stand up and preach. You didn't necessarily go to a priest to worship Odin. But if you look at the How to Train Your Dragon TV series, the old woman is named Gothi.
Interesting.
Which actually translates as God-man, and there's another term that begins with a V that I can't remember for when it's a woman.
So there's a little bit more that was written for Jan, and it says, Jan is one of the most powerful shamans the clan has ever seen, and has significant power over the winter elements, gained through extremely devout and some suspect devious worship of Cernunnos. And since there has never been a leadership challenge by a shaman, there was no protocol for whether or not the shaman was permitted to use his powers during the duel. Jan killed Ralk quickly. Eventually, the clan elders decided that a leader should be able to defend against any threat, magical or not, and Jan was officially installed as clan chief. He is a fierce leader, one who tolerates little weakness. He has been overly compassionate or kind, but he is just. Simply, he understands what it takes to survive, even thrive, in the harsh environs of the Northfell, and plans to equip his clan to be their best. I'm a little torn by the... But I'm torn by the two paragraphs together, because you have the suspect, you know, some suspect devious worship, but then he sounds like a really solid guy. So I wonder if it's just like people don't like that the shaman has been in place because it's so far and beyond the norm and just creating rumors. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I really hope he's not a bad guy.
Yeah. Well, I like the line, he's never been overly compassionate or kind, but he is just. That's a great line. And I like the idea of consolidating power between two previously separate arms of the society. Cernunnos is not made up. It's the Celtic hunter, the horned hunter. He's sometimes called Hearn the Hunter. And he's mostly benevolent, but I think when you encounter Hearn, you know, it's the Wild Hunt in European mythology. And when you encounter the Wild Hunt, you can get caught up in it, and then you run with it forever. So it's possible that there's some aspect of human sacrifice or of trickery and danger involved in his worship. Because I imagine that summoning Cernunnos could backfire on you quite easily. You know, you could find yourself chasing stags in the woods for the rest of your eternity.
Okay, yeah. So one forum user, KJ Magel, had posted that possibly worshiping the Celtic god Cernunnos, and the very next post by the forum user Whipstash was all about Jan. So he had taken that idea and incorporated it back into his own when talking about Jan Stormfallen. It makes more sense because Jan is the shaman. I like it. Although now I am also suspect of Jan. After hearing more about Cernunnos, I'm not entirely sure he is on the up and up.
Well, it's interesting how they're mixing Norse and Celtic influences in this, because your listeners can't see it, but the deer head symbol that's included with this is completely Celtic, with a Triskelion symbol on the forehead. And so I wonder if there's some way to push that further. You know, are they wearing horned helmets and kilts?
Well, I know. Sorry. I don't know if we have any listeners that are artistic, but if you're not taking that to task and doing warriors with horned helmets and kilts, I don't know what you will do.
Although the historian in me has to point out that the Vikings never wore horned helmets. But also, you know, the Celts were very, very big on chariots. They did chariot combat. And so I wonder if there's a way to conflate Celtic chariots with something that would function in the snow. And also, you've got a god who's a hunter, so staying in one place doesn't seem apropos. So I wonder if we could have sleds that look like Celtic chariots, ridden by Vikings in kilts, going out. And
that's amazing. Yeah, because I was thinking of that, but then also to further incorporate it into the idea of this clan, the clan animal being the reindeer elk, and having that be the beast of burden, if you will, for the front of this chariot sled that we've now thought up. Oh, man, I wish I was really good at drawing. I'm not. Because that would be, it's an amazing visual to think of now, especially since I looked up super quick the Celtic chariots. I mean, it would work perfectly.
You could see Jan, his chariot being pulled by an elk, and everybody else being pulled by reindeer.
Yes. And then as you had mentioned, the symbol, I mean, is, yeah, very, very Celtic. I mean, there's no if, and, or but about that. But, it, you know, so it's the head of a deer, potentially. If you want to go check out that symbol and a bunch of other ones, definitely head to the forums, because there were quite a few that were presented. So the preferred weapon is the warriors of the Frosthorn tribe fashion horns into easily gripped sets of sharpened antlers that would work well in close combat for slashing and stabbing enemies, a la Braveheart.
Fight and you may die. Run! You'll live, at least a while.
I'm sitting here thinking, and probably not work well from the back of a chariot. No. Maybe we can cheat and elongate some of those and make them into spears.
Yeah. You got to drive real close. Yeah. Real close.
Put some antlers on the sides of the chariot to slash people with as you go by.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, what would be a good long-range weapon based off of deer and elk? And it's the thing that comes to mind, but it almost seems like more of a legendary weapon or higher end would be a deer or an elk that was large enough that like a set of the antlers could be fashioned into a bow. But you're talking a big animal at that point. But it's fantasy, so I mean, we can have that all day long if we want.
Well, there's a pretty big deer already, but you could do enormous elk antlers that are catapult sized.
Oh, true.
Or slingshot, you know, shooting boulders between two giant antlers.
That is exactly what, well, yours sounds more reasonable or at least less comical than mine. But my idea was like, what if they were riding on the back and they just use the antlers as a slingshot while riding on them? Yours makes more sense, though. So the preferred method of travel is the elk. Oh, so since they use elk slash deer hide in order to make sleds, yeah, they already knew. They were already making sleds. That is probably how they prefer to travel. The sleds probably drawn by domesticated wolves or some type of dog. But we already nixed that. Yeah, we have stepped it up in a notch or two. And we will go ahead and have them have gigantic Celtic chariot style sleds that are pulled by deer and elk. Yes, done. Is there anything else you could think of to...
One really, really enormous elk that's used to batter down enemy walls.
Oh, that's awesome. You could really get into a lot more of that with Jan at the head of this tribe, because he can call upon the power of Cerninus and potentially get that elk that's large, or even have a large elk that he uses his shaman powers on and makes even larger.
Yeah.
Like when they're going to attack the other villages or other clans. All right, well, that's all I can think of for that one. Now, Lou, since you said you were up for it, we will get to create a clan right now together.
Awesome.
Lifting weights is what I do. Look at me. Lift these weights.
We will start out, as we often do, with the most difficult thing. What are we going to name this clan? There's a huge part of me that wants to call them the Nighthorn, because that would be too funny. But I don't think it's... But I don't think we'll go with that.
Oh, I like Knight, though.
Okay, so we've got Knight.
How about the Black Axe?
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
That might be a better last name for a clan leader.
Ooh.
You know, like Harold Black Axe.
I like it. We don't have to do this in order. Nobody's telling us how to lift these weights. I'm in. So if we want to do the clan leader, and we can call him Harold Black Axe. Are you in for that?
I'm totally in for that.
Done. Now, what makes him, or well, like I said, there's no rhyme or reason or rules here. So we've got clan name, clan leader, who is now Harold Black Axe, clan animal, clan symbol, which we probably won't do here unless we can really come up with something and visualize it, preferred weapon, I think we might have a little bit of a hint, on what that might be.
Just a small one.
The preferred travel method, and then from there you can do notable deeds or past warriors of note. But those are kind of the fluff, not the meat and potatoes, if you will.
Clan animal. I'm torn between something magical like a Linorm, which is the Norse dragon, the long serpentine dragon, or something that flies to get us into some interesting preferred methods of travel. What if there are Scandinavian equivalents of thunderbirds? What if we had giant white-feathered birds?
I'm in.
That they rode.
I like that. Do we want to give that guy a name?
Yeah.
We could call it the White Thunderbird, but...
Nah, thunders are wrong. Stormbirds. Stormbirds.
Done.
Cool.
Hey, okay, there you go.
I'm trademarking that right now.
Oh, dang it. I can't. All right. I'll have to cut this out of the podcast.
No.
Lou took it back from us.
So we got giant white-feathered stormbirds.
Yes.
Fortunately, I'm trying to restrict air travel in my own books right now.
Oh, it's, hey, now you can just go, you can get it out of your system.
Exactly.
Right now. So the preferred travel method is riding atop the giant white stormbirds.
Yes.
And then do they only do foot travel otherwise?
You can fly. Why are you going to ride something?
Yeah, done. So the preferred weapon is the axe, clearly. We'll leave it at that. And in all of its various and wonderful forms, thrown, hand, larger.
Yeah, flying in, flinging a throwing axe, and then peeling away.
That's amazing.
You can see them terrorizing a city from the sky that way.
Oh, that's awesome. And the clan symbol, now that we've talked about the bird, I almost can't unsee like an outstretched wingspan as kind of like the backdrop for the clan symbol. But I'm trying to think of how to incorporate the...
Put two crossed axes across the wingspan.
Done. I like that. It's a super cool visual, and especially with the contrast of the white bird, you know, and the wingspan stretched out and the like deep, deep black on the axe heads. So do we want to try and figure out why he's Harold Black Axe?
Yeah, but back on the symbol quickly, the background too, the field could be black, so that the only, you know, the only thing used to create the design is just white paint on a black field. So you've got the outline of a bird, and then inside the bird, it's the silhouette of the black axe.
Yeah, the only thing you need to paint is the white.
Yeah.
Using the negative space to create the black axes. I like that.
You could see them painting their faces and leaving a white space.
Oh, yes.
The two axes. Dude,
these guys are getting scary, Lou. Real scary. They're already kind of scaring the other barbarian tribes by being able to fly.
I think they are. I think they are quite merciless to the other tribes. Not very cooperative. Not good neighbors.
No. And I could see it being a smaller tribe because I can only envision them having so many birds on which they could ride. And only the greatest of their warriors can ride them, and just this bloody competition that is trying to become one of those warriors. But still, they are feared far, far and definitely wide, because they can just fly over there and get you whenever they feel like it.
They clearly live atop the tallest mountain in the land. And you know, everyone else is living on the coast because fish are a big part of the diet. So they're raiding everyone else for food since they can't really farm or hunt up in the mountains. So they survive on stealing from all the other clans.
Nice. So Harold Black Axe. How did he get the title of Black Axe, and what does that mean? I'd almost have to think it's his personal weapon.
But then is this a new clan, since the clan shares a name and the symbol?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right, so he tamed the Stormbirds.
Yeah, I like it.
Maybe he slew his Jarl with his axe, and he was the right-hand man of the Jarl, so it was a Black Axe because it was a black deed, because he killed somebody he was supposed to be loyal to. And he was driven out of the clan. Nobody else could kill him, but he was driven out for having killed the Jarl in an unfair, unprovoked, outside the normal challenges that are allowed. He just did it in a way that's considered dastardly. I mean, in these cultures, lying is one of the worst things you can do. So maybe he just was deceitful in the way that he slew his leader. And so he's driven away, and he climbs the mountain and tames the Stormbird, and then gathers to him people who are attracted to his strength and builds up this clan in the mountains.
But always owning the title of Black Axe, be it for penance or just hubris, either one, just whatever it is that motivates him, it is that when he did that deed. I would see it more as not a redemption if we've already kind of established they're not nice.
No, I think it's embracing your nature. It's like, well, if that's what I am, then I'm going to be the best black axe there is.
Nice, yeah. I almost want to, and I can't get this out of my head, so I'll have to say it. I almost want him to have an axe that is black now, like truly is a black axe, and it's like worked obsidian or something along those lines, where obviously would need a little bit of a magical touch, because an obsidian axe probably won't work long term, but having it, yeah, just be pure black. Oh, Harold, we knew you so well when you were a nice guy. So do we have any idea on the clan name? Did I forget? Did we come down on anything?
Stormrider?
Stormriders? Like it. Done. So the Stormriders, led by Harold Blackaxe, atop terrifying the Stormbirds and throwing axes at you whenever they show up. Awesome. Is there anything else we could think to add to these guys?
Well, I wonder if the Blackaxe came from the Drakkalfar, the Dark Elves. If he went and lived among them for a while when he was driven out of human culture and they gifted him with the weapon.
I like that idea, almost as if he's just fine, walks off into the, you know, into the mountains, finds a cave and just keeps going.
Yeah.
That's super cool. I mean, I'm in for that.
He might have dark elves among his clan too.
Yeah. These Stormriders have escalated quickly, Lou. These guys are not to be trifled with.
No, I'm digging them.
Dude, I like it. Well, I think that'll about do it for them before they become the superpower in the world of Dayimbe. So
now we got to figure out how to stop them.
Yeah, I'm going to go back up and start writing some more stuff down for the Frosthorns. That's
Well, the Frosthorns can't do it alone. They're going to have to unite the clans to take these guys out.
Yeah, because it could be the... You have to now. I mean, once there's that full revelation that they have dark elves amongst them, and it's already, you know, it has that negative connotation on the leader themselves because of how his nature is, the clans have to unite. Well, now that we've thoroughly scared the rest of the barbarians of Northvale with the Stormriders, where can people go to see more of your stuff, read more of your stuff, hear more of your dulcet tones, whatever they want to do?
Well, the series is the Thrones and Bones series. And the first two books, Frostborn and Nightborn, are out now from Penguin Random House. And the third one comes out September 6th. It's called Skyborn. We do have flight in it. And there's a wonderful website that Random House built at thronesandbones.com. I also have a website at louanders.com with different content. There are some marvelous maps that have been done for this world. There have been 10 maps done so far, although I think about 6 of them are public. And they were all done by Robert Lazzaretti, who used to work at TSR and now does a large percentage of the Pathfinder role-playing game maps.
Yeah.
So gamers, go to thronesandbones.com and check the maps out there. Books, and I am enormously spreadable. I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest and things I don't even know I'm on. All as Lou Anders, and some of them as Thrones and Bones. And so I'm very, very findable, very spreadable.
Yes. I don't know how I didn't know that Lazzaretti was doing those maps. That definitely go check that out. I don't know what term that your books fall under, technically. I'm using air quotes. You can't see that. It's a podcast. But I would implore our listeners to go read these books. It doesn't matter what they're classified as. Are they young adult, Lou?
No, they're middle grade.
Middle grade.
Middle grade is, just briefly, middle grade is Percy Jackson, Harry Potter, you know, Ranger's Apprentice. Young adult is The Hunger Games, Divergent, okay. Twilight. It's basically, middle grade is where you get all the action and the best plots and no kissing.
Nice. But
they were written to be basically like The Lord of the Rings, but accessible to a younger audience. And I wanted to bring that kind of world building and depth of immersion to something that an 8-year-old could read. But yeah. Also, you know, I get a lot of parents who are like, wow, this is the first book I've read in my son that I also enjoy.
Yes, and you took the words right out of my mouth, Lou. I was going to say, I know that we have a lot of people that are potentially have kids. I have 1.5 of my own. And these are the kind of books that would be so much fun to read to your children or just read on your own. I'm going to be honest, they're a lot of fun. But the kind of thing where it's like, there's those shows that you get to watch with your kids that you also get to enjoy. And you're like, oh, do you want to watch that again? You're like, haha, this is why I had kids, cartoons. But to read these books to your children, I think would benefit you both, especially if you're trying to think of a good way to get those ideas of the fantasy genre and get your kids essentially to eventually role play. I think these books are an awesome way to do that.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a reviewer who said future fans of Tolkien and George R. R. Martin can cut their fantasy teeth on these books.
Awesome. Yes, I would wholeheartedly agree with that.
Did you like what you just heard? If you did, please consider leaving us a podcast rating and review. Your reviews really, really, really help get the show out there so people can find us, learn what we're doing, and also take part. You know, welcome to the gym. We got to pass out these memberships. So please, please, please leave us those rating and reviews.
And if you want to get a hold of us and tell us how you made a barbarian tribe and all of those things, you can always email us at dmnastics@gmail.com. And of course, if you want to follow us, you can head over to Twitter and follow us at dmnastics. I'm at Jotmaniac and Celeste is at C. Conowich. And for everything else on the network, you can go to blockpartypodcastnetwork.com.
A huge thank you, as always, to the bards over on Bombarded for our intro and outro music. You can find out more about Bombarded at bombardedcast.com.
But with that, we'll turn out the lights and head out of the gym.
Before we go, I want to implore you, the listeners, to join the forums, the Discord, Twitter, anywhere you can find us to take part in these challenges, exercises, and other amazing conversations being had.
And to do that, head over to dungeonmasterblock.freeforums.net. Try some DMnastics so your players don't ask, do you even lift?